Has he come around again? Is he banished? Is he not able to harm me? And yet, ever since beginning this teaching series, strange things are happening, and more recently with my computer, my recording equipment, my microphone. Thus the quality of sound that you're getting today. Everything is falling apart. And so finally, interruption. And where there is interruption, there is progress, spiritually speaking. If I am being interrupted in recording my story, then perhaps this story will have an impact. And thus, I will see him again. I have never been into spiritual warfare. I have never liked to deal with spiritual warfare. Angels, demons, and yet they are a reality, and I know this. I'm not ready for a spiritual battle. I don't want to fight a spiritual battle. At the age of 22, I was so sensitive to the spiritual world that I asked God to take that sensitivity away from me. Yet later, in my ministry, after I became a pastor, I needed that sensitivity again. But I wanted nothing to do with battling evil spirits. I didn't want that in my life. I didn't want that in my home. I didn't want that for my children. I didn't want them to see the power behind the curtains, under the surface, in that other dimension. I didn't want to open a door. The last time I had opened that door as a pastor, I found myself on the wrong team with the wrong motives, going after something that was wrong, needing help to get what wasn't mine, promised it would be mine. Satan never delivers. Never delivers. He is a deceiver. He will take everything, yet promises the world that you will be happy if you just do whatever you want. Where has that spirit gone that was with me? Who is now being impacted by that spirit? Who is turning a blind eye to that fact? Is it gone? Is he in chains? Does he now haunt, indwell, possess, oppress another? Shortly after complete deliverance, which wasn't but last year, another pastor left that church. I don't know under what circumstances, what happened. Maybe after losing its grip on me, it went back to that church where I found him and had thought I had led him out with me. Maybe he had been destroying that church for years. And by taking control of my body, my mind, he was gone from there. And they didn't have to worry about him anymore. I doubt that. I doubt that's the way it went down. But I kept thinking, God, if this is going to happen to me, may I just lead this spirit. That's what I felt. Lead this spirit out of this place. I was talking to my son recently, and we were talking about how bizarre things were at the church I was serving and the spiritual things that were happening there. the hauntings that were happening there that many people were aware of. And we thought of the history of the area that we are in and how the native people were mistreated. Was there a curse on the land? A battle having taken place in the area? A slaughter having occurred? Was there a curse? What was happening? I went as far as to believe that the church building was built in an area or a place on top of where lives had been lost in a battle. We know that they had taken place quite close to there. What else could have happened? I don't know. But I thought it interesting that I never shared that with anyone, that theory. And it was the first theory I had when I arrived at that church. I felt there was a native spirit of some sort, or a presence, something happening. I don't believe that that demon was a native that he had a nationality other than being from hell, being a fallen angel, being assigned to a certain location to stomp out the good news, keep the message of Jesus from spreading. But I had never shared what my first thought, experience, and sixth sense had identified at that church. And yet, I'm talking to my son the other day, and he says, you know, there was a battle there. There was murder. There was the taking of lives. There was a slaughter. And I've always thought that what was going on at that church and the darkness of that church had something to do with or was connected with that loss of life, that hatred, perhaps a curse on the land. And I was like, did I ever say anything to you about that? Like, did I ever mention that that was actually a theory I had when I first arrived at that church? Now 9 years ago, 10 years ago. And he told me, no, never heard you say anything about it. I just felt that that could be the case after I saw what happened to you. And he connected it. I'm thinking, how did he connect those dots? He is my boy. I don't know. I never shared it with him. But that's what he believed. When I first arrived at that church, I knew that something was off. I knew there was something evil there, but I couldn't understand how it could be there and what it was. And as mentioned, from the time I arrived at that church to serve till the time I left, maybe 6 months before I left, I went throughout the church regularly praying for whatever it was to go. I went throughout the church seeing that this church had not truly been dedicated to God. It had been dedicated to man. This church was more of even if in its structure, it was honoring men and their works, their achievements. I kid you not, there were hundreds of plaques made and hung throughout the entire church. The window seals, the drinking fountains, the drain pipes, the doors. Everywhere you looked, you saw a placard that was honoring a man who had contributed to that part of the building. The whole building was being built not to worship God, but to worship self. That was my immediate thought. And that's what I believed God had told me one night when I went there, alone in the church facility, dark and yet creepy. And I'm in the sanctuary and I'm praying and I'm going, God, what is this? What's going on here? And I said, this is your house. Why are you not here? I don't feel your spirit. I never feel your spirit here. Where are you? And he said, this is not my house. This building was not meant to honor me and be a place to worship me, but to come together and worship the achievements of man. This is not my house. And I thought, wow, I always know that a church, we say the term church often referring to a building. It's not what it is. A church is a people. Nonetheless, we think a building is a holy place. But that's not the case, especially if it hasn't been dedicated to and continued to be dedicated to God, honoring God, recognizing Him. And yet, all around me, by way of placards and the behaviors of people, the bickering among the board, the division, it was insane. These people were there for themselves, not for Jesus. They stood for themselves. They didn't stand for the Lord. I'm not saying that all of them were bad by any means. So many good people. But it was what was happening by way of the Spirit in this place causing division among them. And those who had gone before them were there before the group that I was serving. Were self-servers. And attracted other similar spirits and people who served themselves, allowing who knows what into that facility by way of their pride, their arrogance. They tried initially to control me, and I'm not a controllable person. It took something greater to control me. The lust of the flesh. Lust of the eyes, loneliness, to take me out. And it did. What can I say? Are you surprised to hear me say that I continuously invited this demon to be part of my activity? My agenda? Why would that be odd? Isn't that the way that it is? Your flesh allows for new experiences based on your desires, a launching pad for your desires. You give the devil or some energy, or you name it, permission to invade your life, to get to where you want to be, to get what you want. In my case, I heard the whisper, I heard the voice, I know who it was that said, I can give this to you. I can get this for you. Did he deliver initially? He did, without a doubt. He over-delivered. In the sense that I was overcome by a spirit that not only allowed for this person that I wanted to be plunged into darkness like myself, to succumb to enticement like I was, but I would go on to say this is more than just a quest for love. A quest for the right person, the right encouragement, the right partnership. It would become larger. It would become, I was numb to everything. No boundaries in every activity. Opening myself up to everything, all experiences. Floating outside of myself, looking down upon myself, every activity that I was a part of invited demonic inspiration. Continuous empowerment in the same way that you would go about as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, a life lived in the power of the Holy Spirit. You continue not in the power of the Holy Spirit, but in the power of evil to achieve demonic purposes, the devil's purposes, Satan's agenda. You don't think of it like that. You think once if a spirit enters your body, it is what it is. Beyond that point, you are out of control. But I submit that you're not out of control, that you have still ability to operate. And the problem is that most people who write about this demonology, oppression, possession, influence of demonic or Holy Spirit, have no experience. They have not been there. They do not know what it is or what it can do. And they write strictly based on the systematization of biblical teaching, which you wouldn't think would be a problem, but the problem is it's not always black and white, and you can't expect it to be. And so don't tell me what the devil or an evil spirit can do. Don't tell me what he cannot do. Tell me that you do not understand the spiritual realm. You have no idea. You were not spoken to. You were not possessed. You were not influenced. You don't know the capabilities of an evil spirit, the intelligence of a spirit, the agenda of that spirit, the longevity of that spirit, how long that spirit has been operating in this world. So if an evil spirit were speaking through me today, how would you know? Do you think all spirits are dumb? Do you not think there is some intelligence behind a spirit to manipulate you simple human beings?